press one. All right.
I've never had an audio recording.
All right. What is our podcast called? Social Threads. Hey, Social Threads people. We are in Austin, Texas at Mama Dearest. Cool ass bars for all people, country music, some other shit. Francis and I, we're sitting here and we were the only people in the bar at one point in time. Not the case right this second.
Too many.
There's too many people. And I think you probably just heard that voice. That is the voice of someone we just met here. His name is Danny, but I was going to give him the option of a pseudonym. We can cut this out.
But not Danny.
That was his permission, verbal. Y'all heard it.
And for something.
So Danny goes by Danny or Daniel or Dan, depending on his level of drunkenness.
And contact.
And his level of consciousness. Right now, I think we're talking to Danny because we've been here a couple hours. So we're all a little bit intoxicated, but I think that's how you like us. Danny was at the next table, rolling his own cigarettes, like a real badass. And Francis and I are sitting here with a pack of cigarettes because I don't even know if we ever told our listeners. Francis and I have a rule. We do not smoke unless we meet a Danny or, no, unless we're on vacation with each other, because when we found each other 20 plus long years ago, we were both smokers and we bonded at Best Buy smoking breaks and card nights over packs of cigarettes. We would play spades, God, 3-4 times a week. Oh, Lord. We would get hammered, play spades, and smoke cigarettes. That was our whole childhood together. Childhood meeting 20s. So when we're together, we allow each other to have a pack of cigarettes that we share, and that is just that. Judge us if you will. So welcome to Austin, Texas. Social Threads, Austin edition. All right, so we just had to move inside because a very sweet country singer is starting her live music, but that doesn't really vibe with the podcast recording. Francis found her dental tray. Do you know what a dental dam is?
Some things you just don't ask and walk away.
Do you not know what a dental dam is? Where did you have sex education?
No, it was not a real thing, right? Dirty Santos or something?
No, I'm really warning you for real. You don't know that I am.
Wow. For my queer followers, maybe 0.5 of you, please forgive Francis. While Francis is wildly insightful and has had a lesbian friend for fucking 20 years, she doesn't know what a dental dam is. So we're going to have a teachable moment right now. A dental dam, it is a device that is used by lesbians to create a guard between my mouth and your vagina so that we can engage in cunnilingus. It's a vagina condom. Yeah.
What kind of sensation do you get?
No, it doesn't enhance. It doesn't enhance sex. It's like the condom for lesbians. It doesn't feel as good. Anyway, okay, we're going to get back on track. Holy shit. All right. So we're sitting here. We're at this bar. We look over. He's rolling his own cigarettes, and we think this guy's kind of dope, right? So we start smoking a cigarette. His lighter doesn't work. It's fucking kismet. So he comes over to us, hey, can we use your lighter? I'm like, yeah, you can use our lighter. And you should probably sit down because we're here in Austin alone and we don't know anybody. So we need to have a conversation. And then it ended up being probably one of the single most insightful conversations that I've ever had as an adult. And I think that is really fucking cool because he presents as a, and I got shit for this because there are boxes that I apparently am referencing and he is not afraid to call us out. Okay, so that's fine, but just so you know what he looks like, because this is not video like we normally do, he is a white, cis, straight man, good-looking, average size. We have had so many insightful conversations in the amount of time we have met Daniel that we decided just to start fucking recording. So what you're about to listen to is organic conversation between Francis, me, and some dude named Danny that we met at a bar in Austin.
And a lot of scary dolls.
And a lot of fucking scary dolls. Okay, so at this fucking bar, there is a, what do you call this? What is it? A trailer?
It's a weird hipster bar side bus.
The bus. There's dental trays, which is fucking weird. We'll take pictures so you guys can see. Anyway, so we moved into the bus so that we can continue this conversation because we thought that you would really enjoy this. By all appearances, myself, I will leave Francis out of it because she doesn't like boxes. But myself and this very friendly, very cool guy, I wouldn't say would be a likely friend of mine in any other scenario. But today, I just made a bestie.
Tough daggers,
man.
I like being shit on at the beginning of the podcast.
I'm not trying to shit on you, man. It's a reflection of me, not you, bro. What I'm saying is I don't have any straight white friends. I don't. Straight white male friends. And Francis says she's straight, but we all know about that.
Let the conversation commence.
So the boxes that you place importance on aren't as important as I'm the guy that's going to say it box. The other ones didn't matter. This is the ones that, like, do you want to hang out with this guy?
Yeah, that's the idea. Like, I couldn't see the boxes that matter. And the boxes that I was able to see, now I can articulate, were like, he's super insightful. He has incredible views about humanity and what that should look like. And I would have never given a chance if I just stuck to my box and thought every cis white male has the same opinion. And I think that's the point of this entire recording, is to understand that if we give each other a chance, we might be surprised.
But then the next thing I said as we talked about that is, you actually pull that back.
Oh, great. He doesn't like my analysis.
No, it's not that. I'm saying I'm really weird.
He is not the norm.
Talk about that, dude. I thought that was so brilliant. I mean,
you have a defensive impulse in terms of what you're saying is how we perceive. That's how I talk about it. Like, how do we perceive someone based on where we come from? And is there a similarity we can see? Like, I don't have tattoos. Do you? Or people looking at each other based on something that they relate to off the bat? So physical things aren't obvious, sex, or just vibe, look, style, whatever it might be. There's no limit to the amount you can judge people.
Sure. When we call that, you're looking for your in-groups, right? I feel like that's something we talked about on our first podcast. I'm always looking for in-groups. But why?
Well, that's my point. Basically, what I said to you is cis white male, whatever it might be, has nothing to do with if you're cool or not. It turns out. So if we're paying attention to those boxes, we're not paying attention to the cool boxes. I still want to be judgy, but like more specific.
I feel like it's not even that she's not paying attention to those boxes. She's completely disregarding those boxes right off the bat.
Yes. And that's the mistake. Yeah, I agree. I think it was like a protection mode. Honestly, this election in 2016 was really fucking hard to be part of the community and see what's happening. And I think it's easier and safer to identify your enemy. Right. Oh, that's that person is probably believing that or this, and that affects my life this way. So I'm just going to cut that out.
Based on the book's cover, though.
Right. Totally.
And also
totally.
Preconception.
And then that is going to mitigate a lot of the meaningful connections that I could potentially have in my life.
Mitigate sounds nice. It's actually worse.
Eliminate.
Mitigate faces problems. You're acting wild.
Eliminating the opportunity. I agree. And that's, I think, why I felt so compelled to record this, because I'm having a genuine connection with another human that I otherwise wouldn't have.
Wouldn't totally disregard it.
Completely.
You had a lighter and you were cool and I wanted a drink. And you listened to me without being mad about it.
Yeah. No, I'm not mad about it. I love your theories. I think they're brilliant. So actually, when you came here, you were with two other friends.
Correct.
And they came into the bus that we're currently sitting in. And you said you engaged with us because you were actually hesitant to hang out with them. Can you speak to that?
You didn't even hold it back. You just said the whole thing.
True.
You're absolutely correct, because I did say that. I was hoping you didn't, but...
Wait, and totally cut it out.
No.
Tell us about your friend.
No. I was talking about the fact that you just threw me under the bus that we're in.
The literary bun.
It's like a synchronicity of being in one and also tossed under one. Wow. I didn't expect this tonight.
I aim to please.
I did just need a lighter, and I had some friends that came into this area and wanted to explore or people I didn't know, but not my fault. I was invited to sit down without doing much, but just took the invitation, which happened to work out for me not wanting to go on the bus and talk to my other friends. And that's what Spush has been saying about that.
I'm grateful that you chose to hang out with us. Oh my gosh. So one other thing that happened that is a mind fuck
is that
we talked about mirrors, right? So Danny is also a Cancer and I'm a Cancer. And the amount of similarities that we experienced in 30 seconds, I don't even know.
They didn't really stop for 2 hours.
Truly.
Yeah.
Truly. And honestly, I'm not that kind of person. I don't
believe.
But now I do.
Oh, you just fucked around and found out.
Like, holy shit. We've been holding mirrors up to each other for all fucking dang. It's crazy.
There's a reality to it.
There is a reality.
It's funny because I've always believed in him. You've always been like, psh.
I know. I mean, we looked at Francis Trace, right? Like, we know all that about you. Organized. Judgy.
Definitely judgy. That's not unique to her. Cancers are judgy as fuck.
You know what? We've never looked up Cancers. Like, we know what we think we are. But what is the Cancer trait?
We have a certain ego.
Yeah. Ego. So ego has been a reoccurring.
So let's not look up what they think. Then just talk about it.
True. So ego has actually been a reoccurring theme in our podcast related to me. And do you think of a cancer thing?
Ego is Latin derivation, which just means I. But the Freudian Jungian thing that came later in psychology takes ego to the I self viewpoint and like how hard we are on ourselves. And in that sense, it's terrible. But I'm more like, no, let's just go ancient. Ego means me.
Dude, never believed in it. And now that I'm sitting here, I feel like I'm literally looking at a male version of myself, which is fucking death to me. I'm terrified.
I'd be disappointed if you weren't.
I hope at this point in time that you and I just have to be besties, like moving forward.
I got your back. And that cancer is like, when we say crazy shit, we actually beat it.
Yeah. I won't stalk you or anything, but I think you're really cool.
That means you're not trying.
No, yeah, that's true.
But as I said earlier about something else, is I didn't need it to be true. I needed it to convince me. But it's cooler for this show.
Should we talk about Danny?
I'm not this stupid.
No. You don't like that. Okay. I think of a good night.
Just serendipitous.
So many of you just don't feel as connected to Danny as I do.
Aw.
Let's not fight over me, okay?
Yes, it's Danny. It's all you.
But if you want to fight about me.
No, I'm just wondering. I think maybe Danny and I are slightly more intoxicated than Francis. So.
What's that?
Am I just being stupid right now? Am I just like overzealous? Is that how you see it?
No.
Okay. Talk to me.
No, I'm not that
spiritual.
That's judge.
I am more spiritual and holistic, and I'm a meditator and a yogi and all these fucking spiritual beliefs.
Yeah, you are.
Then you know.
For,
oh, wow. I mean, she's on the opposite.
But she's saying this connection between you and our friend Danny because you guys share the same name. And I think that's coincidence.
Yeah, of course. Okay. So again, some people believe in coincidence and some people don't. And Danny actually said very eloquently a little bit earlier that like you choose to see things and how and what experiences you're
and
having.
How much
you put- oh, it wasn't quite like that. It's that some people cannot see it and it's cosmically horrific sometimes and synchronistic another time. I don't choose to do it. It's an awareness that is intrinsic.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
But it's
but
there.
It can be good or shocking.
Yeah, but it's there.
It's an awareness to me.
And I think it's whatever you want is how much you'll put into it.
I agree with that.
I want this to be like a...
I want it to be a connection point, and I want this to mean something. Because
it's... That's kind of up to you, though.
It's a lesson for me. Exactly.
Well, I mean, it's literally up to you. Everyone does whatever they want.
Yeah.
All you have to do is say that's what you're up to, and it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can instantly manifest what you just said.
But that's what I'm saying. Exactly. That's the power of choosing. To say, okay, this is the connection point, and I like that. And they don't know what we're talking about. So,
let's not down talk them.
No, they don't know Danny. They don't know the context of Danny.
Okay.
Francis and I met over 20 years ago, and when we met, we worked at Best Buy. You definitely all knew that. When Francis and I met, we actually, there was a third person in our party, and we were all very close. Danny had a lot of things that I think Francis and I maybe helped him through. Definitely more Francis. So when he died, how many years ago?
10 years ago.
So 10 years ago, Danny, that was an integral part of our group, overdosed and died. And I think our group at that point had separated. But I don't know. I think it was the first time that I had ever lost anybody. It was the first time it affected me personally. When we came here and I found a Danny, I thought that was real kismet, right? I thought that was like, because you don't often connect with humans. It's an unlikely connection to a human that happens when Francis and I, specifically, me and Francis, went to Austin. And then we met a Danny that connects with us this way. And I choose to believe that has something to do with the loss that we experienced 10 years ago in our friend Danny. Francis thinks that that's absolute bullshit. She thinks it's woo. And I choose to believe that it's an experience of growth and evolution and a beautiful thing. So that's the background.
Why not bone?
Why not?
We get so hard on each other.
I don't think it's a bad thing that you think that way. I just don't.
That's true.
It's one of us is right and one of us is wrong.
It's true.
I just choose to, this is a really good interaction with a person and I'm just going to take it as that
and enjoy that experience and not try to read more into it. Kind of thing. Is there a reason for that?
No.
That's cool. Why do you need the why?
I don't. I'm just asking, is there like a protection not leaning into a more spiritual explanation of things?
No.
There's a practical brain.
Yes.
Virgo.
Oh, true that.
So why would you expect anything different? smart enough to know.
Yeah, after 20 fucking years, I should know that
shit.
Yeah,
but we're actually way weirder.
We are. Why are cancers so weird?
Paying attention to an abstraction that's unprovable. And it looks weird and insane to everyone else.
True. All right. So we looked up the cancer traits real quick because it's only fair, because we definitely called out the Virgo traits. Nurturing and caring.
Duh.
Duh.
Emotional and empathic. Yes. Intuitive and perceptive. Yes. Loyal and devoted.
To a fault.
To a fucking fault.
Preach.
Don't be so mad about it.
I'm mad about it.
Let's admit what we did wrong.
Wow, these mirrors today. I don't know that I wanted this much reflection.
I really...
Loyalty is a great virtue, but man, it was handed out like candy. It's fucking rough.
You're pretty good at not handing it out like candy, though.
Say more.
People have to earn loyalty with you, I think. Maybe it's just that you don't let people get to that loyalty level. Like, everyone's dismissible until you care about them, and then you're loyal.
So opposite Cancerian viewpoint is way worse. Like, default to loyalty as a principle to all, and then, fuck, you disappoint me. Because I won't waste time deciding. I want to just do it up front, and then I'll decide if you fuck up.
So you have a hard time letting people in?
No, I have an easy time. Too easy.
Okay. But then once they fuck up, then...
Well, then I can be super judgy.
Do you cut them off immediately, though?
It's almost impossible because we're altruists with unlimited chances to everyone. So it's almost like we put a rule on it, but there's no limit to the times you can fuck up because we still believe in you.
I feel like I've gotten there. I feel like I wasn't there for a long time. As soon as somebody would fuck up, I'm like, cut them off. They're gone.
No, I totally should.
And now I'm more of, I'll give you 100 chances to fuck up.
I feel like you were saying the opposite about me, though.
For you, yeah, I think it's more like you don't just let people in, you're loyal to them immediately.
But when I choose to,
but when you
it's
choose
like
to,
fear.
Then you're loyal to fall.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's fair. I guess maybe there's a factor that's a little bit more impactful than the fact that I'm a Cancer, which is my history. I can't trust everyone. But when I do, ooh, you are part of my pack. And there's nothing I wouldn't do to protect you.
I can get away with anything.
That's not true. So there's one time that Francis really fucked up as a friend. No. I think this story needs to be out there because Francis needs to reflect forever in perpetuity. So there was one time.
The neat thing when you tell people what they need to do.
Oh, hush. So there was this one time you texted me accidentally.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
It's not that bad.
It's pretty bad, dude. That's pretty fucked up. There are people visiting our bus.
This bus has multiple destinations.
We're all going somewhere.
Tone it down, kids. We're not there yet. Are we still on this recording? So, like, why tone it down? Who gives a fuck? Why are you placating them? We are the simulation masters of this experience for the people you care about. We don't care what they're up to. It doesn't mean we don't stop.
We're dancing on balls.
That sounds interesting to hear about.
No, I'm just jealous. Should we?
No.
That's a violation. Privacy.
What are you saying?
Hold on, yeah, I'm an idiot.
Turns out we only got one divided.
Yeah,
I know, mine's hanging on, man.
I like that pool, though.
One way. That was the best comment I've ever heard in my fucking life. Amazing. Oh my God. Another Cancer trait, protective. Do you own that one?
It's that conundrum before of like loyalty, protectiveness, the other traits. Unconditional love. Can you jump ahead a little bit? The hardest trait is forgiveness, because you can be loving, loyal, protective to a fall and absolute, but the ultimate Cancer trait is the ability to forgive everything that isn't that. Forgiveness sucks. I make it a mantra to try to.
It's so hard because
I'm saying it's the hardest, because holding someone to a pattern we think is right and then forgive them anyway, it's also the coolest thing because it's the hardest. It's on the highest list to strive toward. It's a zen state of approachability, but it's never perfect.
It is really hard for us to apologize. It's my experience.
Forgiveness, abstractly, apology is one aspect.
Right. So same. Okay. So for me, that manifests in a really unhealthy way. And I want to know if this is your experience in relationships, friendship, romantic, whatever it is. As a Cancer, I enter a relationship, romantic or otherwise, and I give so much. I give everything of me. If I have a resource that can help you, I will do it. If you're saying, hey, this is how I'm supported best, I'm going to operationalize and make a list about what I can do to make you feel that thing that you told me you need. That is how cancers enter relationships.
It's a caretaker response.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the underbelly or the manifestation of that particular trait is that you expect it back. Okay, and so for me,
that's enough.
Totally.
Right? And don't altruism without knowing the other side, which is don't fucking expect it. Do this to expect it.
Totally. But my frame
is insane.
But my frame is not altruism. My frame is
sounding altruistic to me.
That's fair. I think it's like I give as much as I want to receive. So it's almost like I'm modeling. It's like I walk into this relationship and I'm saying, hey, this is what I value, and so that's what I'm gonna give to you. But the thing
that's
is
not what
is
you said.
But I didn't ask. What do you mean?
You said more than that the first time around. You toned it down and you pulled your protection back at the second description.
Yeah.
You were more about like giving all.
Yeah, for sure.
At the beginning.
Yes.
But now you're setting boundaries.
What I'm saying is I give so much in the beginning and throughout the relationship. And then when it's not received, I pull back. And I think
that's not everyone does.
Yeah.
It's not that unique to cancers.
You don't think so?
If you're nice and someone's a dick, it pisses it off and it does apply to cancers. That's universal.
So do you think that it's unique to cancers that you give so much up front in the first place?
That's what I was talking about. I go to auto loyalty. I'm loyal. And you're like, that's nuts. And I'm like, no, actually, it's a filter that's easier because I start with the automatic, prove me wrong. Uh-huh. Turns out less emotionally painful than letting someone in slowly and being picky about it.
Yeah.
It's so much less impactful where I'm like, I give it to you off the bat. And then you filter yourself. Right. I'm not doing any work.
Do you then close what you're offering as they don't give
show
you
off.
Reciprocate or
show up? Yeah.
Yeah, you have to. That's the point of the exercise. Let someone show you the value. You don't have to predefine it. So if I give you the good at the get-go, I don't have to worry about it anymore. You just have to prove me wrong. And it's so much less taxing on emotional psychology.
Truth. We haven't gotten into relationships necessarily, but that was our last podcast. When you get into relationships, whether it's friendship or romantic, do you find that that becomes a maladaptive trait? So you've given so much, but what if you're in a relationship with someone who trusts slowly and that is seen or perceived as I'm not being matched? Like, I'm giving so much. And you're
talking about you.
You're not matching me.
Talking about you.
I'm asking if you have this matched experience as a cancer. I don't know if it's cancer or if it's just me. And so giving so much that creates a danger, right? You don't actually feel safe.
It feels like an imbalance of energy.
Exactly. Have you had that experience?
So cancer, that's everything almost all of my life. Cancer is exactly that. And I get it. And yeah, it's not wrong. For me, is the flip of, the concept of altruism and truly doing it without expecting something in return. And it's gonna not go psycho, fuck you to what we're talking about. But
I think
if I'm doing it just because it's right, I don't give a fuck what you think about what I did. I'm being righteous no matter what. So your judgment has no power over me because I am doing it altruistically. Out of some fantasy sense that is possible. Turns out fantasy sense is possible if you just do it. I've been in many relationships and like what I mean is turn over time. Yeah, that's been me in relationships. Give more and then wonder why I'm not getting it back and being mad about it. Because I didn't get that my need is not the thing. Now, some people get it more, but the getting it more is based on like we're naturally harmonic. What not a relationship is, how much do you teach them what's important to you? How much do they listen? And how many people have you dated to see who's picking it up and not? Don't want to fuck a dead horse. You don't want to be against the wall to emotionally teach what you need if it isn't intrinsically obvious when you say it.
Truth.
Now, even though someone says it and gets it, it's still hard for both sides to, like, you hear it, but enacting it after hearing it is because you actually heard it. You can pretend to hear it, but when you enact it, you heard it.
Yeah.
And it's the realization of hearing it that's more important than saying you did.
That's like the definition of my divorce. It's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
I wasn't going there. I was just saying it's actually a conflict resolution.
And when that's successful, you're preaching to my soul, Danny.
I'm trying to relate that to how, like, you and I have a relationship. And because I feel like I don't go into relationships 100%.
No.
None of them. Like, friendships, relationships, nothing.
You don't think that you came into our relationship 100%? It's fine if you say you don't.
No.
I'm just saying, okay.
No.
Okay.
I don't think I do until I know that the relationship is, like, an actual lasting relationship.
Even then,
or when I think the relationship is worth enough for me to put in the effort, then I'll put in the effort.
What does that mean, though? So if you were to operationalize it, I know that this person is worth it if they do A, B, and C.
So, Josie.
I don't know.
I'm asking, like, from your perspective, what are the traits or values you're looking for to see if someone is there?
Worth your time?
Yeah.
I still don't like that.
You can't even judge based on Danny. I pretty much met that point after an hour of conversation.
Totally. 100. Yeah.
But if I'm in like a romantic relationship, that could take me fucking 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just until I realize that this person is like someone I can connect with. And even if I were to see obstacles, we could work our way through it. That's a value to me.
Okay. Yeah. I love that.
I don't know. So I don't think there's a time frame for it. I think there's just a...
I didn't ask time. I just mean, what do you have to feel to say, okay, this person is someone I want to connect with and I want to stay friends with?
Yeah.
Because I
don't have a metric than a time scale.
Yeah. Like
I don't like them.
And I didn't, because I'm confused because I didn't experience that from you. I feel the day at the bar.
We had to have, like, there had to be value in our relationship for me to get to the point where I was like, I'm going to let down my guard, and I'm going to let her in, and I'm going to even say I'm wrong and you're right sometimes. When in the beginning of relationships, I'm not like that. I'm
okay.
Like,
yeah.
I don't give a fuck. My walls are up.
See, that's so interesting because I'm the opposite.
I can always walk out the door, and I'm fine with that. It takes a lot for me to get to a point where I'm like, I'm vulnerable, I guess, in a sense, where I'll let go of my shit for the other person.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen like right off the bat, where it sounds like that does happen for you guys right off the bat, where you're like,
no, not that. Everything you said, I'm totally with. There's a starting point of how you view people, which is abstracted from what you're saying is like proving it over time.
Yeah.
So I can do both. I can be protective of that let-in that you're talking about, and also start from viewpoint others that's a little bit like, it's not my problem to judge you. Prove me wrong, because I'm already giving it to you. Fuck up. Go ahead. It's easier.
Yeah.
So in a way, are you saying, sorry, let me reflect it back real quick. So when I heard you, Francis, I'm hearing, I don't trust right away, right? Like I give it a little bit until I feel like I can be vulnerable. Is that?
Yeah. I feel like you guys are saying, like, I'll give you everything until you fuck up. And I'm saying, I'll give you nothing
until you prove.
Yes.
I'm actually just saying both.
Yeah.
Because. Yeah. I'm saying start with a viewpoint that's really broad and accepting, but definitely have discernment. I believe in your discernment and prove it. But just from the get-go, I'm not so mad until you do something wrong versus looking for something right. I'm both is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Are you?
That's my point.
I'm not.
Welcome to Danny.
And I think maybe that's where astrology might take its different roads.
I just don't have a... Like, I have had your viewpoint of being protective of letting energy in. And I found it easier to just let all the energy in and let them do the wrong thing rather than me having a construct.
Yeah.
Because it takes so much more mental work to do what you're doing. And I'm slacking over here in my viewpoint.
Yeah.
But it's chill.
I feel like you might be more successful.
Is it a trade, like emotional energy versus like mental energy, or?
It's all emotional energy to me. But it's just if I'm looking for the thing I want versus not and open. And instead of me looking at it, it's like you showing me.
A little more welcoming.
Yeah. So like the self-deprecation is definitely more welcoming. It's like, I want you to do the work for me. So I'm just going to be nice and let go of initial anger.
That seems tougher for you, though.
What does?
Like letting everyone in right away.
Oh, yeah,
like,
no.
Yeah.
See, but I think that maybe I was that way.
Now you're trying a different approach.
I think experience gives you the the perspective that perhaps you're too open. You give too much, too fast, right? Like when you do that for so long, so many years, and then all of those relationships become disasters. It's okay, maybe I should employ some discernment here. I think that was the hardest thing for me. But that's interesting for you to say because I was so young when I met you. So I would assume that perhaps I was that way when I met you, but not now. So that's fascinating.
You think you're a war old man when you met me?
I think I put up with more. All right, so think about my relationship then, right?
Yeah, you definitely put up with more. That bitch was crazy.
Yes, she was, yeah. But girl, we have repaired. You're one of my friends. It's all right if you're hearing this.
That girl was crazy.
She was crazy. She's grown up. But I think for me, I gave so much. And then I wanted to assume that whoever I was giving that to would say, oh my gosh, look how much she's giving. Oh gosh. I need to give it back. And then my assumption was maybe that they were as healthy or as capable of doing that. And they weren't.
Yeah.
And this one certainly was not. She was Francis's favorite partner of mine, though.
Go ahead. We'll tell the story.
No.
Yeah, we will. Go ahead, boo. What'd you just say?
Turkey baster.
Why in the world, when I was talking about my first girlfriend, would you use the phrase turkey baster, Francis?
I think she tried to tie you down by impregnating you with a turkey baster. True story.
She used to talk about it, but no, we never did it.
Oh, I thought she tried it.
No, you don't remember the story.
No.
Okay.
She literally got some sperm up in a turkey baster and tried putting it in you.
No, that never happened.
Okay.
She's not that
Maybe
fucking
she's not
crazy.
Quite as crazy as I thought.
Okay.
She thought it.
That's the part. Are you ready for this? I don't know that you can handle this. Are you ready? We were at Panama Hattie's. She has a reaction, but she's not verbalizing it.
We were at Square Rupert.
No.
All right, Panama Hattie's.
Panama Hattie's, they had the sand outside, right, with the fire pits. I remember that because I melted my Puma shoes that night.
Okay, and then, yeah.
Okay. We need a pseudonym for her.
Sarah.
I fucking can't with you.
All right, so I'll call her Sarah. So I met Sarah when I was 18, and she was my first girlfriend, which meant she can do literally anything. I would just oblige because I would be happy to receive it because this girl, and you got to understand, I was like newly lesbian. She was beautiful. She had a great body. We're not going to say that on air. So she had a lot of voluptuous traits. And I was just, as a result, absolutely in love. And as time went on, I think we collectively realized how crazy Sarah was. But one day we were at Panama Hattie's and we were sitting around a fire. And she was considerably older than me. We'll give her that grace. How much older? 6 years. So I was 18, meaning she was 24.
Considerable.
When you're 18, it is. So I was 18. She was 24. Yeah, I know. And I think she had this vision of what she wanted for her life. And she and I were getting serious. And so she started talking to me about having children. So we were together for 3 years. So meaning I was 19 or 20 when we were having these conversations. And I am 40 and still don't have children. So you can imagine how fucked up that made me. So I'm in this relationship and Francis is like, what the fuck are you doing? This girl's crazy. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's beautiful and I can't see anything crazy. So I ignored a lot of the red flags because I was 18-year-old. Who the fuck knows? She's my first girlfriend.
Yes.
Anyway, so we're sitting around.
Do you do the dental treatment?
Actually, she didn't make me use a dental dam, which is maybe why I was in love. Anyway. So we were sitting around this fire and we were talking about the fact that she wanted to have children and I didn't want to have children yet because I was 19 fucking years old. And so she says something like,
fine, I'll just use a turkey baster.
As
I said, this bitch is crazy. You need to leave right now.
I'm a guy that's setting red flags out for me. But I don't need to do it. All the things, I'm already out.
And at this point, we were in a relationship for 2 fucking years. And she basically admitted to the fact that if I didn't get to the point where I wanted children,
would they force impregnate you?
She was going to forcibly impregnate me while I was sleeping.
Yeah, no.
So now that we're saying this out loud.
The cool what? From the pool, you got to have a support. And before you.
I cannot with this motherfucker. I swear to God. I love you so much, Danny.
You brought it there. Let's go.
She might not have cared. She might have just found some.
Should have met me many years earlier.
I'm struggling so hard not to just.
The gist is she was cray cray.
Yeah, the gist.
and you had to break it off.
Gist is she was fucking cray cray and I had to break it off. But basically, I may have a forcibly conceived child at this point in time that would be 20 years old.
Oh, well, if she was going to force it in her, then.
Oh, force it in her.
Otherwise, you would know. Well,
she implied it was by her. That's what it sounded like to me.
That's what I thought, too, which is why we broke up shortly thereafter.
Would you be pretty thing? Why not both?
I will just put them in both to see what happens.
I think she would.
You're not wrong. Well, this not having kids in your 40 episode would have been different.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's funny shit. Sorry. So Danny went out to have a cigarette while we were talking, and that entire story was about my first girlfriend.
Why didn't we get better? See, we don't even know. We just let you be part of our conversation. This is what happens when Francis and I hang out. We just...
Something about, like, how you started giving too much at the beginning.
Giving too much. Cancer is giving too much. Yeah. I opened myself up, and then I just gave everything, and then...
Result!
So in the next one, I may have pulled back a little bit.
Yeah.
That was my only point. And I did a lot. I almost switched to an entirely different person.
Yeah.
Yeah. In my next relationship, and that... We can talk about pendulum swings.
I call it experimentation. It sounds way nicer. Figuring out experimenting.
Yeah. Yeah, but for real, I went from like crazy bitch to the most stable, amazing, wonderful human that I also fucked at it. But
it didn't sound that bad the way you said it.
We went through that in a different episode.
I think we all do that though, like in anything. Once something happens to you, you just go.
Right. Like my many that weren't met here are being met here in these particular ways. But in time, I'm going to learn how they're not met here and then pendulum swing to another person.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's the process of figuring it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to give
understanding
you
energy again. Of what you want and what you don't want. There's no wrong learning of how bad you fuck up because it actually does always help. It's just horrific. It's not a fun process, but it's a process.
It is horrific.
But it's okay. Cosmic horror and learning is the same thing.
Yeah, that's true.
But also learning and figuring it out.
Yeah.
Dude, I think it's the cosmic horror that, like, you learn faster, I think.
Yeah.
Like a good boost.
The bird gets pushed out of the nest.
So the first thing I thought immediately when we just had that bit of dialogue was, what does that look like when a human is evolving? And you're talking about each relationship is learning and we're taking pieces of what we want and we understand and we learn like what fulfills us in a relationship. And hopefully all in the same time, we're doing our own work to fill those gaps.
Maybe.
Hopefully. So I'm thinking like, Francis, like your experience, right? Mm-hmm. Having been in one relationship for 17 years and the process of evolving within that frame and how different that is.
Wow. It still happens. It's just on a different scale. It's, I can't start over.
That's right.
Like, you can't just go, oh, this relationship isn't working. I'm going to break away and fucking start again. And now I've learned some shit about myself and I'm going to look for XYZ. That doesn't happen. You have to try to, like, learn how to grow together, which you can't, like, force a person.
James, what's up, 2 years?
I'd say for the first half of our marriage, we were, like, the same. And we just did this linear move. And then I think I started to do this character arc and my husband stayed on a linear track. So it causes this odd thing in a relationship. When you start to change into a different person with different ideals and they stay the same because you're changing, growing apart, I guess. You can't blame the other person because they are who they always were. I don't know.
They can blame you for changing. They were just the same the whole time. You're the one who's weird. But I don't mean that the trajectory is wrong. Content of the expansion is the game.
Yeah.
But it's hard to be judging about someone who doesn't do it because that's more than normal. You're the weird one.
Yeah.
And good. You're expanding. You can't be disappointed if someone isn't.
I can't be disappointed and I can't expect it and I can't change it. It's just this thing that you just have to adapt to or not. I feel like we've moved apart in ideology. But we were exactly the same 20 years ago.
Why do you need him to be on the same team ideologically? That's what we're supposed to explore, right?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That's what
okay, so let's not worry about it.
That's what I'm pointing out. Go ahead.
Are you just checking?
Yeah.
I got a text. Sorry.
There, you're good. I was just making sure we had enough content.
Danny's got all
have we even started?
I'm smoking a cigarette. Let's go.
Yeah, well, should we pause and then smoke? Oh, cheers.
We all love in Austin.
Just so much Sarah McLachlan one can take.
We talked about this.
Yeah.
Turn up. Horse, I guess, was my wall.
4 seconds was all damage.
First time I ever had sex was to a Sarah Vaughan song. She wrote a song about having a stalker. Something about a kiss. Oh, man, I'm gonna kill me.
It's not the one that makes me want to adopt a dog.
Why don't you shut up? Turn that fucking song off.
Just don't make me hear it anymore.
Yeah. What? Okay, Sarah Vaughan.
Passionate kiss? It's shit.
My phone's dead.
I'll forever remember it, but I won't remember it at all, apparently.
Who are you having sex with?
Okay, that's all right.
His name was John.
Steve, tell me you want.
Is that a pseudonym?
No.
She means Sean.
We do terrible pseudonyms.
You're terrible. Dwayne was my first wife. If you can call it that. We were domestic partners. Certified, because it wasn't legal then.
I'm still a fan of the song. God damn.
I mean, I would do Sarah Vaughan. If you're listening. 720-960.
It wasn't my good anymore. Rethink it.
I'm single, man. It's the first time in a long fucking time. I'll do a lot of things.
I like the movie beginning with I'll do a lot of things. I'll do a lot of things. Oh, sweat. I will too. Well, but
I'm just saying, dude. I haven't been in a relationship for
a minute.
A couple minutes.
When we get older, we don't use years. We just say, oh, I've been in. And then I know what that means, actually.
From 19 to 38, I have been in a relationship.
Oh, yeah, because she doesn't leave a relationship until she's in another relationship.
That's not difficult.
No. Not a lot of time between them.
It's like easier to leave a relationship, though, if you already think you have a thing on the back burner.
It's not even back burner. You already have a relationship. I see. You can only end.
I'm trying to be nice.
I thought we were being real.
Well, and so this, it's funny because what's happening is like a real break from that pattern.
Now you're actually.
Yeah, actually single and have been for quite some time at this point. And it's so strange because you're right. Like connection. I don't know if it's cancer related or not, but connection has always been such a crucial aspect of my life. Like I wanted a partner. I've always wanted a partner. I love love. So I think it's so easy for me to just go from one to another looking for something without the real intentional work of who am I and what do I want and what complements me? And am I actually looking for relationships that build gaps rather than add or create growth or evolution? Like, I think it's really just the dynamic. I'm looking for relationships to bridge gaps that I have in myself. And I think I finally have broken that pattern to a place where now I'm really intentionally trying to do that work so that when I do find another relationship, it's not that.
I just listening to those two perspectives, and it's just in my relationship experience, the thing I found in common with the two stories is personal growth pattern versus partner's growth pattern over time. And it could be what you're looking for in your current state, or stuck with someone who isn't on the same pattern as you. It's like, how much do you value who you're with based on already knowing that your shit's going to change anyway? So my approach is I'm way less hard on the partner in terms of expecting change the same way as me, because I have the universal understanding that no fucking way is not, because otherwise you're going into a losing battle. The partnership is like getting over the knowledge of it's definitely you're going to bifurcate. If you're going to make that your thing, don't need to have a partner. But if you do have a partner, you already know it's going to do that. So what's the trick, even though it does that, not expecting them to change? The trick on deciding a partnership is knowing it's going to happen anyway, but can you have a diplomacy no matter what the trajectories are? That's fucking tough.
It's like that you're both going to change.
Yeah.
Because that will always be true, universally.
Yeah. That's true. I don't think I ever expected us to change in this
way.
In different directions. I thought, oh yeah, we'll always just change together. See,
where you done fucked up.
But I don't know that you're wrong if you bring your perspective up, right? Because I think where it's gotten lost, or what I'm hearing, is work down on our current political landscape, like what that looks like, our rights and all of those things. But if you pull it up and you say, my husband is a good man, right? And he actually does value humanity, and he does value relationships, and he does value me, right? Like that story you told me today about him putting cash in your fucking wallet because he never wants you to travel without cash. That's an intentionality that is only born out of love. And it does...
It's apolitical.
It's apolitical, right? So when you look at the thing that he does and you intentionally choose to look at those as love, right, doesn't matter as much. And this is really interesting coming from me because you know my perspective, right? And it's been really hard, but I also know that you've been married to this man for 17 years, and I know that he created stability for you in your life. Not he didn't. You guys did together. Right. You create this foundation of stability that I think is invaluable. And he's a good man who loves you, who is intentional about your safety and about having what you need. And honestly, in my situationship, that is now completely
that fucking Zoomer bullshit.
Which is now completely over and is severed and we're done. Situationship. So the thing is. Danny is taking exception with the word situationship. And
cope off the bat.
Okay, it was so we were divorced. We tried again. We were it's a fucking mess. Anyway, we're over and done. But if I could have said half of the things that I just said about your husband, I probably would still be in it. Right? Like the intention and that my ideal selfishly is to have you next to me. But I think if there's a way to place more value on how much he loves you and the ways that he expresses that, I don't know. I wonder if there's a place for compromise and to reconnect.
Can I emote it? Extreme male.
Oh, we need the male.
Like, instinctual response. So the abstraction I use is the realization over time in so many relationships that the political... thing,
viewpoint, whatever.
I've completely abstracted from something I need in a relationship. So someone else's political viewpoint, I know, isn't on the list of things that are actually important in a relationship. So it's less occurring to me to be worried about it. Or like what you're up to in that. And my political, philosophical, ethical discussions, I got people like you for this. I don't need it for my wife. I got friends, like, so I don't need to look for everything in my partner. I need to look for partner shit in my partner. And then the deep talks where I get them and my friends. So I don't need it all in that space. I think a lot of people fuck up, and I was too judgy early, expecting the intellectual or soulmate shit. When you could have a really good partner without that, and also have friends that does that side of it. There doesn't have to be just one person that fills all the size. So you can have friends to do that. I'm saying that's the thing. It's up to you to let go of the attachment of that person having a viewpoint.
That's the hard part. Like I should get that out of them too. And that's the part that I need to get.
You're pushing your shit on someone else.
Yeah, I know. I am. I am without trying to.
It's an expectation. You're not forcing it, but you expect it.
Yes.
Which is your bullshit.
No, it definitely is.
Can I interject real quick? So can I ask you as a man, that whole interaction that just occurred, right? It's beautiful. I think the piece that might be missing, and I love your perspective on this, is...
Thank you for couching it before you tear me down.
No, I'm not going to tear you down, I don't think, unless you align with some values that I don't think you do, but we shall see. So if I can ask you just to...
You can ask me anything.
Okay, if you can just try to put on a lens of a woman. So practice empathy of a woman... in our world right now, as I ask you this question, if that's okay. I don't know how I can describe
He's
that.
He's changing to something.
Acting. Oh, okay. Okay. He's doing his exercises to get ready. Okay. I got it.
No, it's okay. But I think it's really valuable.
It's really valuable because I think that's where we get lost because the only perspective we have is as women living within the world. So my question to you is, I agree that with the entire interaction that just happened, I think my question is for you, because it was all wrapped up into perspective and political opinion. But I think something that we're experiencing right now as humans in the United States post-election is that politics is not just politics anymore. Politics is actually, it's almost indicative of a value system. And I think as women watching our men, our husbands, our fathers, our brothers, voting for someone who has not made a secret of misogyny and not actually valuing women as humans, grabbing pussies and doing all the things. I think it's hard when our men, who are supposed to love us, vote for that. And so it's really hard because what you're saying is, I'm voting for this human to represent us because...
But don't put that on me.
No, not you. I'm talking about just our men, like when they do vote that way.
It's your perception on that.
It's our perception of...
Well, some people certainly do both.
Oh, for sure. I think for me, I want to ask you, like, because that decision of our men, and when I say our men, just the people who are meant to love us, right? So people who are meant to love us voted in a way that could potentially have policies enacted or just maybe a general social sentiment shift that is against us, devalues us. It is hard But here's the thing. Our perspective, sorry. Do you want to go? Okay. So our perspective is you should, if you love us, practicing empathy and understanding how that person being in power and that person in the policies that will follow and that administration and what that looks like for us, if that is not a factor in what your choice was to who leads this country, it's hard for us. Then we don't feel protected by you. Or loved by you, or seen at all. So that's the hard part for us to reconcile. And I would love...
Speaking for women.
What? No, just Francis and Christina.
I don't know. It's tough for me.
Sorry.
No, I totally get what you're saying. And yes, I agree with a lot of that. I don't think that, like, my husband voted that way with those things in mind. And that's where...
Sorry.
Like, the effect that it might have
sure.
me, right. his sister, his mother, like, whatever. Like, women in general. I think he just looks at it from a completely different direction. I don't think he looks at it like he was voting against me as a woman.
No, he doesn't. I don't believe that either. But I feel like, potentially, what you're saying is maybe you should have looked at that.
Definitely. Okay, so if I were to lose my rights to vote because I'm a woman, then that's going to cause a terrible rift in our relationship. I don't know that'll occur actually, but that would be a thing.
I wouldn't be surprised if we went to reverse woman suffrage. Jesus.
A rift?
Yeah, small rift. And sorry, so this entire dialogue was, can I have your thoughts on that? Because I think that we're more aligned than not, and I want to know another perspective.
In this moment, disalignment? In that it's actually me, I didn't vote for either party, and I have a moral standpoint of I do not vote for the lesser of two evils. And I consider both parties bond-sold intrinsically corrupt, and I will not lend my viewpoint, what you're saying about that viewpoint, I'm saying about you guys. None of y'all should be voting for any of this fucking shit. It's all corrupt, and if you're missing the corruption on one side versus the other, you're not paying attention. So why are you judging someone for picking a team when you're already a team picker? I want you to jump out of team picking and be like, this is evil, intrinsically. So why would I get mad at my wife if she's picked a team? The whole fucking thing's bad. It's all fucked. For everything you say on one side, I can say something weird on the other side.
So I think my next question for you then would be, I agree with you, and I think something really cool that you did for us just outside before we started this is that you brought us up to a level of perspective that I don't think anybody has ever brought me to, which is even bigger than the United States, bigger than the world. It's just larger than any perspective I think that any of us have these days. And I thought that was a really cool exercise that we did. And my thought here is, that's great, and that's so cool. And we are living in this reality. And the reality that we're living in is the idea that we do live in a two-party system. The idea is that our lives day to day are affected by politics, policy, the chasm between Democrats and Republicans, the divisiveness of this administration. Like, we are living in this reality, okay? And so we can pull ourselves up to a perspective that doesn't have us have to deal with that reality, but the fact is we are every day. And so my thought for you is, tell me how, when we talk about voting, that's one of the greatest, that's one of the most important responsibilities we have, blah, blah, blah. You mentioned we're going to vote for the lesser of two evils, right? But the reality is that not voting doesn't influence our system at all. right?
Or and so, does it?
Hang on. Yeah, I know. So the only influence that we've been given within our reality of this perspective, right? We live here. We live in this country. Mm-hmm. We live as citizens, and our power is limited to voting.
Is it?
Isn't it?
No, that was before the war game.
No, I get that.
Part of the game.
But the entire point of the game is the fact that's not reality.
But what if it's actually true what I said?
Say more.
Having a viewpoint of a different perspective than being a voter and seeing brand scale problem can help you do interesting things to solve the problems without voting directly. So I lean into direct action versus voting. So how do we get better at impacting change without needing that system? Because humanity needs to evolve beyond that system.
Totally.
So if we already know that's intrinsic, let's start on my problem of fixing shit versus voting for. Fuck the politicians, we ought to do it. So how do we do it creatively enough to harmonically pull people with us?
Yeah, no. And I think that's the cool thing about our connection today is that we have that same reality, right?
The like, voting thing isn't working, so let's stop.
100%. Totally. Yeah, I agree. When we were, oh gosh, I don't even know, a couple hours ago, you said that we are unique, that we are aliens among people who aren't either as evolved or have the same thought process as us, and
that's
whatever.
Harsh for what I said.
Tell me what you said.
What I mean, sensitivity to being exposed to a new idea is like a brace to some people. It's impactful versus some people have a cushion and they can take new ideas better.
Totally.
And part of the process is not telling people the new idea, but teaching them the cushioning to receive it, being open to it.
And the uniqueness of that.
We're the weirdos.
I love that you said that. Yeah, we're the weirdos. We're the ones that are willing.
Very much.
We're the minority.
We're totally the minority. And that is my question, though. If we are the minority and we have the interest in making these large-scale changes, how else do you influence our system?
So you have to make people that don't think it their idea, and it's a good idea.
Oh, this is a subterfuge. We talked about corporate. Oh.
You can't do it by telling them what to do. You have to plant the seed of an idea where people not like us already think it's their idea, and then it's a good one. We just have to drop it off in the right way that they run with it.
How?
I guess we're getting somewhere now. So no one knows exactly how, because every energy is unique. That's the art of making something greater than yourself think it's a good idea and being able to walk away and not care that it was your idea, but they're running with it.
Okay, so this entire thing started about like the political system and the political divisiveness that's happening. So to apply your perspective to our current political landscape.
Like, I told you my approach.
Tell me, like, what could
I'm not voting for either A.
Okay,
and
but
then
you
focus on specific issues. And I know I can't do it, but how do I implant an idea in people that will mass it?
That's my question. How do you implant that?
It's like psychological operations. And it depends, but unique energies, as you were talking about, every problem has a different approach. So that's what I was asking outside is what's important. That was my point. All right, we've got money and banking figured out, but like, where do we go? What are we up to?
Yeah.
So it's harder to define where you put your energy than how to approach it, evil. You got to start somewhere what we're up to.
Yeah.
So you give me an idea of, hey, this is important to me, and I could juxtapose how I would approach it. But I got to get the thing you think is important first.
So take your perspective to 100,000 feet. Imagine you're a powerful politician. What is it? Right. Or more or higher. In practical terms, what is it that you can do that would create a perspective change? What is it that we could do for the public to say, make that impact?
Relative viewpoint of what's important is different than mine. And everyone's relative viewpoint is absolutely unique. Big problem of people killing each other and whatnot is not realizing that you're actually, I have a relative viewpoint. Because people, if you start from everyone has a relative viewpoint, there is no such thing as equality. Everything is unique. You can't force equality because everything is absolutely unique, every viewpoint. So when you start talking to each other on that level, you get less upset about differences because it's obvious that difference is in the code.
So perspectives are unique, but not everything is perspectives, because I feel like
everything literally is perspectives.
So it is, but those perspectives...
There's a whole bunch of them put together.
But when a collective perspective creates oppression, that creates experiences for people living within the reality.
The ones doing the barrier don't think it's oppressive, and the ones getting it do. That's what I mean by relative viewpoint.
But the idea that it's a different viewpoint doesn't make it less oppressive or hurtful.
No. To the people doing the oppression, it doesn't occur to them.
Totally.
Oppression doesn't exist from that viewpoint.
Yeah, he's saying oppression is only the perspective of the people being oppressed.
Or someone who empathizes with it. I'm saying, no, every single one is absolutely different. If we start from there, we get less mad about differences.
That doesn't change the reality of oppression.
You think there's a oppression reality? And I'm saying...
Yes.
That's a relative viewpoint of some, and the ones doing the oppression, it doesn't occur to them.
I agree with that. That doesn't change the idea that people live
your opinion,
without. Man. No, I'm talking about the reality of the world in which we live.
Well, people just oppose multiple viewpoints. So I can see the oppressors and the oppressed viewpoint and say that, in your definition, fuck it, that exists. But if I can see everyone's viewpoint, then everything exists.
Correct.
But it only exists for you because you notice it. So why are you mad about people not noticing it? Why aren't you?
Because it creates a reality that...
For you?
Actually, because I have tons of privilege. But for people that don't, the oppressed.
But they still don't see that the ones doing it. That's my point.
Yeah,
from certain perspectives.
Yeah, I think people walk through this life without enough food. So, I think people walk through this life without enough shelter, without enough resources to get education. It's not. It's a reality.
No. That's your reality. That's your judgment.
It's their reality.
No, you're projecting on how much shelter, food, love, and care people need. You think your idea is right. Yeah. And I'm saying everyone's idea is right from their viewpoint because that's all they got to perceive it. So what you're saying is right for your viewpoint. All I'm saying is it's literally different for every plant, human, and everything.
Yeah. No, I honestly think that this is the challenge of getting any movement and or like what creates so much divisiveness. Like everyone has their own perspective. And even in like my household, we share the same house, the same like everything. And we have these different perspectives that point us in different directions. My reality is not real or not real versus his reality being real or not real.
It's all
real. We see things differently, but yeah, it's real to both of us.
Okay. But if we were to take the idea that,
assuming your idea applies to all viewpoints.
So do you all agree that there is homelessness in this country?
Yes.
Do you believe that there's poverty in this country?
Sure.
Do you believe that there's suffering in this country?
I think all of them is not just human, it's modern universe.
No, that's fine. So if I were to apply this, it would say they only feel oppression and harm and hurt and hunger because they perceive it. No, they are experiencing these things. This is not a perspective. This is their reality. Whether or not we want to talk about...
You're empathizing with their reality.
Of course I am. Absolutely. But we can't say they're just perceiving themselves as hungry. No, they're fucking hungry. But my thought here is we can take our perspective up to 100,000 feet, but it doesn't eliminate the experience of people who are having these experiences.
Why is it your job to eliminate?
Isn't it?
That's what we should be talking about. Sure. Is it what we should be up to? But leaning into taking personal responsibility for problems so great out of our scale. You want to solve hunger, poverty, whatever it might be. But you're in this viewpoint, you're not in charge of that scale level.
Sure.
So you're taking emotional impact of a scale you don't control. That doesn't mean you shouldn't come up with a way to approach it. But you're really emotionally invested in like it's your thing. It's a viewpoint. And it's only your responsibility if you think so. And I think it's cool, but that's not everyone's viewpoint. Yeah.
So the responsibility part.
That's up to you.
Yeah, that's mine. So taking responsibility for it is certainly my choice. I completely agree with you.
The universe by being human is the lie.
You got it. Absolutely. Francis is going. Oh, there's a bachelor.
Welcome to Texas.
This is like the best content ever. So somebody, a beautiful girl with a purple, blue
cowboy
hat came up to us. She is... tall and beautiful and probably getting married. And there is a bachelorette party right behind us as we're having this very serious conversation. So she came and asked if we could take a picture, and we are now in celebration with these women. And it's another example of connectedness and wonderfulness. Frances is taking a picture. Look at that. Yes. Oh, now Frances is going through a pole. Oh, my goodness. Frances just gave her best stripper moves.
They were my best. How that feels. Well,
minimal effort. It's all right. But
it was just going to like chuckle at me.
Yeah. Frances's stripper moves are subpar. That's the takeaway.
No, that's not what I said. I said they were funny to me.
Oh, we want more effort. All right, get up. Go. Let's see. I'll go.
Okay. No. Whatever.
Not let me.
Anyhow, we move fast.
I really appreciate your perspectives. I like that we're able to have these conversations.
My feeling was you're talking about this grayscale thing. And I try to remind myself I'm a human, what's in my immediate scale influence.
Yeah.
And also the thing you're doing, which is like die scale.
Yeah.
But you're applying judgment to why aren't people thinking like you.
Sure.
So everyone, no matter what your viewpoint is, says, why aren't the other side thinking like I do?
Yeah.
So if you did that, you don't fucked up.
Yeah.
So in other words, I'm applying my values on a grand scale. So my values being that humans should have the basic of what they need to live. Humans should not have to suffer because there's enough in the world and we just have a problem sharing.
Those
are my point. Right. And those are my perspectives. And I'm applying that, even though that's some kind of moral superiority that doesn't actually exist.
Superiority.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I got you.
I think I even said in like our first episode or something, it's like the perspective of the person is going to be like what they value and what they look at. So I can't judge people for voting a certain way because so if I can't afford groceries, like that's the thing that is fucking the value to me. And I'm going to vote based on whatever I feel is going to help me do that thing that I need to do. Right. And everyone has their own thing, like what they feel they need.
I think my takeaway from this is maybe it's unacceptable or unsustainable, really, to expect someone to move into alignment with my perspective of the world, which is totally fair. But what we do get to do is make a choice as to whether or not that perspective of the world is something I want to live with or marry or date. And when you have somebody who just goes from relationship to relationship every 7 years or so, it's really quite easy to just keep evolving and finding people who have values closer to yours.
And I remind you of my solution of the problem was like in a partner, everything we're talking about, I don't need to involve in that by partner criteria. Because I'll talk to my friends and you guys about the deeper philosophical shit.
Yeah.
But that's not my partner list. Hanging out now, that's my list. But I don't need my partner to be what I'm doing right now. Go, hey, all your girlfriends and me, and let's get fucked up. We can do this conversation right now. You don't need that in your partner, per se.
Yeah.
You're just hanging on to the need of it. But you can evolve the definition of what you need in a partner, as well as your viewpoint. You might not get it, but you can get it from friends. That's assured. A partner's valuable despite those things you're talking about. I don't need it from the partner. Because we're doing it. It doesn't have to be him. I don't want my girlfriend to be everything. I realize I can talk to some other people too.
I think we just learned that Danny has a girlfriend.
No, I was just opposing husband to girlfriend. Am I not?
Are you willing to tell our social threads audience? Danny, are you single?
Yeah.
I can't even thought about it.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. So he wasn't sure. What's the trepidation?
I got a lot of interesting friendships.
So Danny's got some friends with benefits, it sounds like. It's fair. He says fair. Friends with benefits for Danny. All right, we ready to wrap up?
Yeah.
All right. This was Social Threads, Austin edition. Fucking fantastic. Shut up.
Oh my God.
Okay, it's dangerous. Social Threads podcast from Austin. Thank you, Danny. You are just a fantastic human with so much insight. We appreciate you so much. Francis, thank you for your vulnerability. I appreciate you. First, as always, thank you. We're signing out.
Well, love y'all. Yeah.